The morning of the harvest festival dawned bright and clear. Everyone had been planning and working for days, and by lunchtime the fete was set up. There were stalls selling the bric-a-brac that had turned up when Rabbit helped everyone clear out their houses, and a ring-toss game made from sticks and rings, and Owl's platform where he would stand to recite poetry, and a mysterious booth made out of blankets hung over tree branches. "Have your paw read by Madame Petulengra," said a sign that was pinned to the outside. In the middle of it all sat the cart, full of produce that gleamed in the September sunshine. There were haycorns from Piglet, a small pot of honey from Pooh, strengthening medicine from Tigger, homemade crabapple jam from Rabbit, a whole tray of fairy cakes from Kanga, and much, much more. It had all been decorated with heather and yellow gorse. "Perfect," said Christopher Robin, looking around the glade when preparations were complete. "And now it's time for our picnic," he added, as one of the fairy cakes was grabbed from the cart by a baby rabbit. The lunch was a fine one, with enough honeycomb and acorns to suggest that perhaps not all the best produce had been set aside for the less fortunate. Then, as the sun started its journey down the other side of the sky, the animals opened their fate. From the start, Piglet's ring-toss stand was popular. It became especially busy when some of Rabbit's friends and relations decided to throw the rings over Piglet instead of over the pegs. Things only calmed down again when Tigger got a ring wedged around his head and Christopher Robin had to remove it with soapy water. The mysterious blanket booth turned out to contain Lottie, seated in a rocking chair and wearing a mauve turban. If you paid her a small coin and offered her your paw to examine, she would tell you either that you would cross the water or that you would meet with a handsome stranger. If you paid her a large coin, you found out you were going to do both at the same time. Meanwhile, Eeyore tramped slowly around the glade with a crowd of little rabbits clinging to his back, shrieking with laughter. Then, when you tired of these wonderful things, you could go to Rabbit's card booth and find yourself obliged to lose at various different games. Or you could listen to Owl reciting Uncle Robert's favourite poem. But it was a very long poem, and when it came to the hard-to-remember bits, Owl flapped his wings a few times and said, "Etc. and so forth, and so on," in such a grand way that it was really just as good as the poem. Or you could do as Pooh did, and wander around from stall to stall, marvelling at everything, trying all the games, and not doing terribly well at anything, except at rolling the penny. And so the celebrations went on all afternoon, until Kanga announced that, harvest festival or not, it was time for Roo to go home to bed.
"But it won't be dark for hours,"
protested Roo. "Now I've told you," started Kanga. But Pooh wasn't listening to this. He was looking around the glade for something that wasn't there.
"Where is Christopher Robin?"
he asked. Everybody stopped what they were doing. Rabbit looked from side to side and said,
"He isn't here."
"I know where he isn't," said Pooh, "but there's still a lot of other places he might be."
"We must organize a search party,"
squeaked Roo excitedly.
"No, dear," said Kanga, "because then we might all get lost instead of just Christopher Robin."
"He isn't lost,"
said Piglet, sounding as if he wasn't quite sure.
"We don't know where he is, but that isn't the same thing at all. Christopher Robin is just on his own somewhere. I wonder if that means he wants to be on his own. Oh, dear."